Well, that's what I was, that's what I was going to ask you.
Would suggest, too, that we would certainly...
With the budget note, and in respect to Lilly's concern, I don't know how many products.
About 100.
100. Bill, could you estimate what the physical impact might be for, in a stair-step sort of budget note, what might 100 products produce in the way of a fee?
I couldn't just off the top of my head, but I could certainly work a schedule for you if you liked. The budget note suggests that the fee schedule establish a minimum fee, which would not be less than $75 per product. So the minimum, then, that would be assessed to, for 100 of Lilly product would be $7,500.
And your Lilly is currently paying $2,000, did you say?
Yes. Unfortunately, there is no guarantee that it'll go through this committee and then be voted in, and it'll all be a working piece of legislation, and then the Department of Agriculture will actually come back and do that. They may have very strong budgetary reasons for collecting the $120. And, I mean, if the budgetary consideration's there and they have to do it, and if we have to pay it, you know, if we want to be in business, we have to do it. But it's extremely difficult for us to pay these fees. The state of Washington's legislation actually wrote in the stair-step and actual dollar figures per registration. They just increased it this year.
May I ask you what amount?
Sure can. The registration fee for the registration of pesticides for any one person during a calendar year will be $105 for each of the first 25, $100 for each of 26 through 100, $75 for each of 101 through 150, and $50 for each additional pesticide registered. In addition...
We would be looking at something the same.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else in the audience like to comment on Senate Bill 1180?
Thanks, Bill.
For the record, I'm Richard Kosasan. I represent the Oregon Agricultural Chemicals Association. And very briefly, Mr. Chairman, the Oregon Ag Chem Association would like to go on record as in support of the bill. There has been a lot of discussion among the membership in terms of the fee and the percentage going to Oregon State University for the minor crop program. I think a fee of 10% was legitimate, was logical, well thought out. And I think, for the most part, people are supportive of the issue.
Thank you. Any questions? Anybody else wishing to testify? Now we'll close the public hearing, and we'll open the work session on Senate Bill 1180. Does everybody have a copy of the budget note and the proposed amendments? Is there any more copies of the proposed amendments floating around out there?
The budget note.
The proposed amendment?
Those are already.
Yes, I have one copy.
Those are already.
Senator Bradford.
I move that we adopt the proposed amendments, Senate Bill 1180A-2, dated 6/9/89.
Senator Bradbury moves that we adopt amendments, Senate Bill 1189-82, dated 6/9/89. Any discussions? Any objections? Adopt as ordered. Any additional amendments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanneman.
Move that we adopt the proposed budget note to Senate Bill 1180, with the assumption that it now carries a fiscal impact statement, or budget report, I'm sorry, with it. There's some language that probably ought to be changed in it in a minor way, not to change the intent, however.
Representative Hanneman moves the proposed budget note for Senate Bill 1180, undated. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. There's one other place that that there's been testimony, and that is in on page 3 of the aid and growth bill on lines 10. Anybody have any desire to change that percentage?
Page 3. Oh, I'm sorry.
Test the water for a 10% deletion of the 15% current on in the bill and move to a 10% registration.
Senator Hamby moves on page 3 of the aid gross bill, line 10, to change the 15% to 10%. Any discussion? Senator Bradbury.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry I wasn't here for all the testimony. Would 10% give us an adequate sum of money to do the research we need for minor crops, or would we need to augment that sum, or what would we need to do here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Kosasan again. Senator Bradbury, we think the 10% would provide enough money to do to support research work on some of the minor crops that are important to Oregon, some of the minor crop research work. It can be argued that it wouldn't support nearly enough research work.
There's
never enough. But we feel that
this is kind
with
of like
matching
the Human Resources Subcommittee. Huh?
Yeah. We feel that with matching money that we would strive to get from industry, we could conduct some research work, yes.
Bill, while you're there, will you clarify then on the amendments that we made, the blank dollar space, will that be to augment what that 10% didn't make up, or is that a different type of
Mr.
program?
Chairman, the by understanding, the funds that would be provided there would be directed toward our laboratory, toward purchase of analytical equipment in the laboratory, and they could not be used for anything other than that, and to enhance the pesticide analytical program itself.
Any other questions or discussion? Any objection to the amendment? Not as adopted. Any additional amendments or budget notes?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Bradbury.
I would move Senate Bill 11. You want me to move it out? I'm sorry. I would move Senate Bill 1180. He's having a strange reaction.
Mr. Chairman, it's not customary for us to send a measure to the full committee with a blank in it.
Thank you. Motion withdrawn, Mr. Chair.
We'll put a dollar in there so we can go.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that would be appropriate.
Senator Bradbury moves on line 7 of the dash A2 amendments that replace $1. Any objections? Not so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bradbury.
I would move Senate Bill 1180A engrossed as further amended by this subcommittee to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Bradbury moves that Senate Bill 1180-A, as we amended it to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Senator Bradbury will carry it for the full committee.
Yeah.
You'll like this too.
Anything else? I'd like to reopen the work session on the House Bill 3445.
More information from the department, Mr. Chairman, you might want to take a look at. I think the concern, Mr. Chairman, was the amount of money that was needed by the Department of Soil and Water. I think we have resolved that with a fiscal impact that they've shown. Maybe the department would like to speak to it.
Mr. Chairman, Phil Ward from the Department of Agriculture. You have before you some information related to the House Bill 3445 that we felt might be helpful to your deliberations. The first page is a detailing of expenses for soil and water conservation districts that we estimated for soil and water conservation districts to make the first visit and the subsequent work with a landowner. And we are estimating the total cost per complaint to a district at approximately $150. Extrapolating that over the biennium, Mr. Chairman, at 100 complaints per year statewide, we're estimating that it would be prudent to set aside $30,000 per biennium to provide in payments to soil and water conservation districts based on the number of CAFO complaints that they respond to. So that's the first page. The following pages are simply some of the information that we talked about last time, and there are 17 districts that have said they would respond. This is on the second page, that would respond to the initial complaint, and 10 that have agreed to undergo the training that would enable them to take water samples. And then following that page, there's a little documentation of some of our CAFO activities in 1989. Additionally, Mr. Chair, if I could just send this around for you to look at. Here's a little geographic presentation of our permits, the complaints, et cetera.
Say the flag, the number of permits in each county, is that what we're reading there?
The number on the flag is the number.
Yeah, permit, that's the right? Number on the flag is the number of dairy operations permitted, and then the blue pins stand for additional operations. So we have the dairy operations identified with the yellow flag, and the number indicates the number of dairy operations permitted in that area. The blue pin is the other operations, be it poultry, et cetera. I think we have a dog kennel under permit. One operation.
What's green?
As well. Green.
Number of investigations.
Number of investigations.
Yellow is the number of consent orders, and the red is the number of civil penalties.
Don't see red ones in Tillamook County,
nope.
Do you?
No red one over there.
Okay.
Or Coos County.
Okay, so.
Move one of these red ones over.
No. Leave them all in the Willamette Valley.
We don't want to discriminate.
Any Does that conclude your testimony? Does that conclude your testimony?
That does, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, just one.
Dan Gilmore.
You also gave us a bill analysis on the fiscal impact. This one you gave today is the latest that you're anticipating the cost from the Department of Ag, which includes soil and water.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gilmore, that is correct. We've revised the last fiscal impact we did for you to reflect this additional money, and because the effective date of the bill is not until January 1, 1990, we backed our estimate off to reflect that time period.
I appreciate you putting that on the record.
Thank you.
We have a Representative Hanneman has brought somebody from.
Mr. Josie is here.
He's checking off.
Water. Walt, do you want to make any remarks?
I didn't see you hiding back there.
We're hiding.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. State Representative Walt Schroeder from Coos and Curry Counties, and I noticed we have a few folks listed down there in Coos and Curry Counties. I guess the concerns I have may have already been dealt with, but I want to make sure that they're on the record and the intent is clear on these things. I'm concerned about the definition on Section 3, confined animal feeding operation. This may not apply to everything that I'm going to talk about, but I would like to share with you. For a number of years, I worked with boys and girls in 4-H club work, and many of them had horses, pigs, whatever, and in the wintertime, sometimes confined in a corral that may have had wood chips or bark dust or something underneath. And I'm concerned that this would require them to have a permit and have the annual inspection if this so happened. In our own particular case, I had three sons that we raised by raising pigs to help raise those kids. And every year we'd go out and we'd get a whole bunch of wood chips, put them in the corral, and those pigs would be able to stay in the pen, in the undercover, and then also go out into the yard and root around in the wood chips. We felt it was a good way to raise pigs, raise sows and their litters. I'm concerned that that would require a permit and a fee. Also, I think one of our county commissioners, who is a former dairyman, in fact, a 4-H club member of mine for many years before he grew up and became an adult dairyman, made a comment, and this may also be taken care of in your latest deliberations, and that is the funding for this program. And he indicates that the upshot of a 6-month study was that the Soil and Water Conservation Department of the Oregon Department of Agriculture should be the lead agency for dealing with the animal waste problems, and that the local SWCDs are best able to affect the needed improvement through the white hat method of cooperation. I think we've seen this happening, where they are able to work with these folks, getting the job done through education rather than coercion. And then he says, further, in the event that this did not work, cases could then be turned over to the black hat people. And I'll leave that up to you to determine how you want to interpret that one for enforcement. And so I think that my concerns are the 4-H kids and the small operations. It does not say how many animals are involved. It does not eliminate 4-H kids and others that have small amount of animals from having to pay a permit fee and an inspection, and also the funding for the Soil and Water Conservation District to do their job. That's what I wanted to share with you.
No bad news. The black hat, white hat makes me think that you're reading the same letter I read from Commissioner Gordon Ross.
I think
a dairyman. I just had a conversation with him on the phone and described the bill with the -7 amendments, mm-hmm. Which does put the Soil and Water Conservation District, if they so choose, right out front. I walked through the whole bill and how it worked, and the -7 amendments did not provide for an annual inspection unless you have been a real bad actor and you've had complaints and the correction methods that are proposed aren't followed, and at that point there is going to be an annual inspection, civil penalty and an annual inspection. And he was I walked through the proposal with him, given that he'd written that letter, and he was very, very enthusiastic about it and very excited about it in terms of really addressing. I mean, in that it really goes at the problem that he thinks does need to be addressed, okay. Rather than the
white hats.
Rather than having the black hats out there all the time making trouble for all the dairymen in the state. Uh-huh. So,
well, I've seen Gordon excited before. That doesn't always mean he's excited for something.
He was excited.
Okay. Does Does this bill address the kids that may have an animal or two, a horse or two that's confined on bark, dust, or wood chips? In Western Oregon, anytime you have animals confined, you're going to have some runoff someplace with all the rain we have. So I'm concerned about that.
I know we put the 4 month exemption in.
Members of the committee, I'm Dick Nichols of the DEQ. I forgot to bring my white hat today.
I was just quoting Gordon Ross.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't think we have white hats. Regardless of this bill, the department has the authority to deal with people who are causing water pollution. So whether or not this bill is passed or not, when anybody is creating water pollution, we can deal with that. This bill does not require, in fact, if a facility such as a corral with one or two animals or even 10 animals doesn't have a water pollution control facility, then they don't have to have a permit. So unless you had a lot of folks or a lot of animals and you were creating a lot of wastewater and you needed to have a facility and you were causing water pollution, then you're out.
Doesn't pick up any more people than is currently should be picked up under the regulations under CAFCO. That's the way it was explained to me. There's no new people added because of this bill that aren't currently or shouldn't currently be under CAFCO.
That's true.
Thank you. That's all I want to do is get it on the record.
Mr. Chairman, the only comment I had would be a better bill if some of the DEQ's powers were reduced.
Representative Hammond, make the appropriate motion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Josie.
Mr. Chairman, when Mr. Josie comes up, I'd appreciate him indicating his past activities as well as his current.
Senator, representatives, Mr. Chairman. Well, I served on as president of the State Association of Oregon Conservation Districts.
Just for the record, Mr. Josie, would you identify yourself and tell us where you're from?
Ernie Josie, Tillamook, Oregon, dairy farmer.
Thank you.
Wilson, you dairy incorporated. I gave anything for advertising. Yeah, I served as president of the State Association of Conservation Districts. I served on the Soil and Water Commission with the Department of Agriculture before we were original commission, and then after going in with the Department of Agriculture for, I think, 8, 10 years, chaired the Soil and Water Commission for 3 years. I've been a director of the National Association of Conservation Districts for 6 years, just retired because it's kind of like the commission after so long. Why, that's it. Somebody else's turn and you have layoff for a little while. So I'm a little bit knowledgeable. I've chaired several national committees, to urban and coastal for one, and RC&Ds and several other committees. I'm not going to rehash this bill. I think it's been, I've kept abreast of it, and Mr. Gilmore, I've wrote to you several times about the bill. I'd like to heard something back, but I didn't. But I see nothing. The bill isn't really going to change anything other than what we've had that the department and the DEQ are doing now. I see never other than the $25 a year. I guess we lose that much by mistake every day, so I guess we can afford that. So I won't question the $25. I do chair the CAFL committee for DEQ and the Department of Agriculture, and we've worked on this for 3 years with all the agriculture groups. So this is nothing new to us people out here in agriculture. I think Mr. Representative Gilmore, you understand that. So, and we've worked hard trying to put this together to satisfy all producers in Oregon, you know, whether it's rabbit, mink, cattle, swine, poultry, beef, you name it, dairy. And out of that committee, that we were all in agreement that the Soil and Water District should play a big role in this. And it's been said that we aren't doing it. Well, it's very, I'll admit some of us aren't doing it. We do try, but without funds, it's very restrictive, you know, to do anything, you know, because I run a business myself, and it says here I'm worth $10 an hour. That's kind of an insult because I don't think I'm a consultant. Now that's, but So I would be very satisfied with this bill if there was monies in there for districts to be able to do the job and work with the Department of Agriculture, because we are under the umbrella of the Department of Agriculture, and we naturally work with them. I guess that's about all I have to say. I would sure appreciate some money for districts to work on this too. It's a lot easier for me to work with my neighbor than it is for you to work with my neighbor, and vice versa. And I think that with the personal contacts that districts make, and we have credibility, we're all elected. I have to go under the gun to get elected. Tune them, they don't like me, they just can throw me out. Sometimes I wish they had it. That's just all I have to say now, that we need some funds in there for districts to operate. It's been said some districts will, some won't. Well, if you put money in there, they all will. There's lots of districts that will do it. The problem with districts is we're not funded, and it should be appreciated that there's 45 districts out there with 7 directors that can make lots of contacts. And I think the Department of Agriculture appreciates it. It's something great for them to have us to work for them. You know, it's not costing all that much, except that we do need personnel to handle our business. So that's all I have to say, and thank you. If you have any questions, what?
Yes, Mr. Josie, I think you and I are coming from the same place, and we were talking a moment ago about the distribution of funds, $150, as a very small show at regardless county, Tillamook or Washington County. And rather than cutting a check every time you do file a complaint, the few times that you are not able to clear it up yourself, neighbor to neighbor, and have to file a complaint, and the $150 then that is credited to your soil and water district, do you think it would succeed just on an annual basis, that you are then in fact reimbursed annually for your efforts for the prior year's work?
Well, I'd rather see so much per district. The districts are active right now. If my memory is right, there's about 26 districts that agreed to make the first complaint, and someone will take water samples like our district. Of course, you know, money is hard to come by, I know that, but of course, we'll take anything. But I'd rather see a certain amount go to districts that will handle this, so they could staff a person and take care of this, so I don't have to go out and do this myself, because, like I say, I have a business loan to, and we do a lot of this personal contacts with directors. But I guess it's a start, and I sure wouldn't turn anything down for districts.
Based on perhaps what the number of permits then, since because there's such a variance between
See, you're going to involve a lot of other things. Right now, we're talking permit system here. That's practically all dairies. And you're in a lot of other, there's a lot of other operators out there that are going to be involved in this permit system once it gets rolling, see. Mm-hmm. So you're going to involve your Eastern Oregon, Central Oregon districts are going to be involved in this too, as soon as the cattlemen, everybody's involved in it. Mm-hmm. And which is going to happen in due time. It just takes a little time for these things to work. I appreciate anything we're getting, you know, but I would like to see more money brought into the districts if it's possible, and you'd be surprised the operation they do. Now, we don't receive all that funds, but we have an office manager, and it makes all the difference in the world for them to make the contacts. I do my work with them over the phone, the rest of the directors do with our office manager, and she takes care of that. A lot of the work, and she's very capable, and we appreciate her, and we need money to keep her. She needs a raise.
I suppose one could construe the current proposal of $150 per visit or follow-up as a way of generating dollars, perhaps unnecessarily, and checking in on farmers that probably would not be checked in on otherwise. Is that it?
That could happen.
Yes.
That can happen. And you're going to involve the district's going to be a lot more active. They have a certain amount of money to work with, you know, to start off with, you know, because you take Marion County, Tillamook, Clatsop, Washington County, and then Yamhill, where there's several, Mount here, where there's a lot of dairies. Why, that's probably where the money would go right now, but that's not going to involve the rest of these districts that aren't really in a dairy district, you know, where your swine are involved and all your cattlemen. like I say, every little bit helps, but I'd like the involvement of all the districts, especially, I guess you realize I'm a district person and always will be, always have been, and I have a lot of faith in districts.
Any additional questions?
I'm not in it.
Thank you, we appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bradbury.
I would like to briefly return to the definition of a CAFO, just to raise just a question along the lines that Representative Schroeder raised. And it's very clear that if you have a wastewater treatment facilities, you're a CAFO. That's clear. But that's an or wastewater treatment facilities. So what I'm trying to understand is how we have, through this definition, excluded some of these smaller, you know, holding a few horses or cows or sheep or whatever in the barn. And I just want to be made comfortable about that, because I think it is, I don't think any of us want to see a situation where a 4-H kid has to get a CAFO permit. So I mean, I'm just trying to make sure where we are.